This is episode 37 of the Reading Coves podcast. If you're a book lover who may be interested in joining our online book club, please visit our website at thereadingcove.com. For December 2013, we're discussing But Inside I'm Screaming by Elizabeth Flock. Hi, so I'm Millennia in Florida.
I'm Roberta in Georgia.
And Roberta and I are here to discuss our December 2013 pick, which was But Inside I'm Screaming by Elizabeth Flock. We are a little late discussing it, but we did want to, you know, chat about what we thought about it and what the group thought about it overall. So it was our 157th pick, and it was chosen by Cheryl. So what did you think, Roberta?
I enjoyed it for the most part. I think as some of the other members of the COVID said, there were some things that were sort of glossed over towards the end. You don't know as much about the heroine once, you know, she goes off back to her, quote, normal life.
Right.
But overall, I think it gave you a look inside what happens to people, you know, once they have a serious mental illness and a pretty much a break with reality.
Yeah.
And the heroine was one of the more fortunate ones, because a lot of people, and I think unfortunately it's still true, that a lot of people, they just can't climb back out of that dark hole, no matter with medication and therapy or whatever else. It's just too much for them.
Right. My main thing with that book was I had a hard time with it because of the time of year, because it was right around Christmas time. It was very depressing. It was like bringing my energy down every time I picked it up.
Right.
And because it opens pretty interesting. You know, her name's Isabel, and she's a reporter, and it's set the day or the night that Princess Diana had her accident and died in Paris. And she's supposed to report it, and she freezes up on live TV and, you know, one of the most important stories of the century.
Right.
And she that's when everything just came to a head for her and she crashed.
Right.
And so I thought that was very interesting. But then the way the story was set up is that it takes you back into her past through flashbacks. So you're supposed to learn about what built up to that as you progress through the book. And, you know, it was very, very dysfunctional being in her head and very depressing. So once I got past that and I saw, okay, we're going back all the time. And I would have preferred to stay with her to see her progress now, if the book didn't start, you know, in the past.
Right.
I'm not a big, big fan of flashbacks like that unless it's really compelling. And so, yeah, I gave it a C+. I thought it was very well written. And I tried to be a little generous because I know, you know, the time of the year just wasn't the right book for December.
Right. It probably should have had something a bit more uplifting, but you know, you never know, I said. So.
Yeah.
So you're saying you might have liked it better if we'd read it in July?
Probably, maybe, yeah. I probably would have been more interested in her situation because she's really crazy. She, you know, she was troubled. You know, I don't, you know, mean to sound flippant about it, but
right.
She was a very troubled character. You know, she tried to kill herself and she's been having mental issues ever since she was a little girl. So, I mean, yeah, I think I might have been more interested if we had read it at a different time.
Well, I said, yeah, around the winter time like this, there's a lot of people that suffer from that thing they call SAD, the seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah, yeah.
And so maybe that's why it's good that a lot of these authors have their special Christmas books, which are probably wouldn't work for you. Because on the other hand, I know you're not real big about extra sappy. But there's a place for uplifting Christmas books because it can be nasty and dark outside. And they just sort of lift you up because you know that they're going to have a, you know, happy ever
ending.
After type ending.
Yeah, yeah. And it didn't have to be a Christmas book, per se.
No.
But
I'm just saying.
Yeah, this was particularly dark, you know.
It was. I said, yeah. And I thought that the author was very authentic in her portrayal of mental illness.
Yes.
That, I mean, even though this was set a little while ago, it wasn't that long ago. And I think even nowadays, it's tough for people. And there's still this whether people mean for it to be or not, there's still this stigma about mental illness that, you know, it's not something you want to admit to if you've suffered through it. And people just don't seem to have the same sympathy for it as if you had some other type of chronic illness.
Right. And I also thought that if the book had opened a little bit prior to her breakdown on the TV, maybe it would have been better as well. But because we meet her just as she's falling apart, I didn't really connect. I wasn't all that interested in learning about her because I just felt like, okay, just get this woman some help, move on. I don't want to spend 300 pages mired in that madness.
Right.
And so, the book was from her viewpoint pretty much the whole thing.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure is. But I think, as you say, that sometimes some books have too much exposition, but I have to agree with you. I think a little more exposition instead of jumping right into the story would have helped us relate better to the character and see a little bit more about what led to this, you know, horrible moment in time where she started to spiral downward quickly, very quickly.
Yeah, or if not exposition, but it could have just started because she had a very troubled marriage. And,
right.
You know, her relationship with her mother. So it could have just opened, you know, with some situation going on with her husband at home. And,
right.
You know, how those, you know, there was also the story I remember about how she forgot her friend's biopsy appointment or something.
Right.
You know, start there.
Right.
And let us get to know her in those everyday circumstances. And then, even though it was compelling to see her freeze on national TV, you still are seeing somebody you don't know yet.
Right.
So I think if we had known her, then that would have meant more to us when we saw that happen and then seeing her, you know, her mother take her to the mental facility.
Yeah, a little bit more lead in to.
Yeah, exactly.
To do it. But I said, but overall, I thought it was, as you said, I thought it was very well written and it flowed pretty well. And I said that, you know, it wasn't the perfect thing and it wasn't probably the perfect time, but it did give you a view of her and then these other people that she came to have a certain relationship with at the mental hospital. And, you know, she could see that at first she thought, well, I don't belong here. I'm not, you know, as crazy as these people, but she was in her own way. It's just hard for her to see that. She was still in denial, I think, a good bit until she could really, you know, find her way out. But, and in a way, she wasn't quite as bad off as some of those people, because some of those people, it was pretty sad. You know, I don't think they were ever going to be totally well, no matter what happened with them or what did with them, or they would be okay for a while and they could slide back down. They were, she was, I think, because she was so driven in her career and as a person, I think that probably helped her to be a little stronger despite this horrible circumstances and, you know, this total meltdown, that there was a certain amount of strength behind her that had driven her almost too much in her career with her, you know, shown by her neglecting her best friend in her time of need, that she was, you know, so driven that her career was, you know, appeared to be more important than her friend and her serious illness. So I think maybe they don't really say that, but that was just my personal opinion that she had that drive to help her a little bit more than the other patients.
A lot of them had a lot more acute and severe mental psychosis or something situations,
right.
You know, where, yeah. And at the end, a lot of the other members in our group were complaining that, you know, the ending was a little bit too ambiguous in terms of how she does when she gets back to her normal life, that you really don't get a sense of, you know, this, you know, how things work out. Like, what happens? Does she make it? Does she go back to her job?
Right. Well, but yeah, I know some authors like to leave things kind of open-ended for you to decide for yourself.
Right.
But I'm one of those people that, unfortunately, I like to have things pretty much tied up in a pretty bow.
I kind of prefer that too.
I'll deal with it sometimes, but a lot of times I get, you know, sort of disappointed that I've probably told about it in the Cove before. I think one of the few books that I really wanted to throw against the wall was the book Little Children by that Tom Perrotta.
Yeah.
I just thought of it recently because I just read some of his recent short stories.
But, no, but this book is, no, I totally get it because you want a complete story. And
right.
Sometimes it feels like the author didn't want to make a decision or they didn't want to, you know, it's like, oh, I'll just leave it, you know, to the reader's imagination. But
right.
No, complete the story. make a decision, choose a path, you know, choose an ending.
Unless it's going to be like a part of a series, and then you could have a cliffhanger, but then the reader knows, okay, well, it means
to
I have
continued,
to,
be continued.
And, you know, they'll have it. And most authors, even at that, kind of get it to a certain point, but you just know things are open-ended and can move forward. But like I said, I don't get upset with books too often, because pretty much if I'm not happy with them, life is too short, I'm going to just, you know, put them aside. But like I said, I do tend to like things that are somehow have some kind of ending to them, even if it's very unhappy and sad. I can deal with that. I just want an ending, you know, some closure that I know what's happened with these characters, or kind of have a better grasp on what their future looks like.
Exactly. Or, you know, even like in this book, if we don't have to know everything that happens, and of course, there's a sense that she'll always have to work at being well.
Right.
And, you know, have therapy regularly and so forth. But, you know, give us, you know, some hope for her. Let us know that she's going in the right direction, and
That things will improve for her.
Exactly.
Because even if she doesn't get her job back, which I think might be a blessing if she doesn't get it back. Because, well, I mean, you know, besides the fact that here these people are going, everybody's going to remember her. Oh, that's the woman that, you know. Mm-hmm. Broke down on national TV with the, like you said, the story of the century.
Yeah.
And so that wouldn't be good, but I think it would have been better almost if she could have gone to the thing and said, well, I appreciate your support and everything, but I think it's best for me to move on. And that way, maybe it would help and they could give her a recommendation and she could get into something else that wasn't quite as stressful
and demanding.
And then, you know, once she got rid of this yucky husband of hers, I think her life, and she'd gotten some things hashed out with her mother too. I think her life, there's always a little stress, but it'd been a lot less stressful, and she would know to not get so driven again and let things just get swept away with her.
You know, overall the group gave it a C+, which is above average.
Right.
And there were some people, I think there was like one A, and some people voted and gave it a B+, and so it all averaged out to a C+. But there were some in the group who really liked it. Cheryl, who picked it, enjoyed it, and a few others did as well.
Right, and I said, think some people could maybe relate to it better just because of their circumstances or just what they were, you know, going through at the time. And that's good, and I think it's really good at any sort of book club that if you have a variety of opinions, because it's sort of boring if everybody hates it or everybody loves it.
Yeah, it can be.
It's better to have a little bit different input on that. I enjoy a more lively discussion like that.
Yeah.
I'm glad I got to read it. As you said, maybe I would have liked it even more if it were, you know, not around the holidays, but as with other books, with the Cove always exposes me to things I might never have picked up otherwise.
Exactly. Me too.
And so that really helps you to keep from getting stale in your reading and locked into just certain types of genres and move you out of your comfort zone to learn new things and be exposed to new things.
Exactly. All right. So that is going to be our discussion of But Inside I'm Screaming by Elizabeth Flock. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. As always, please continue to leave us your comments below and stay tuned for our January episode where we're discussing And the Mountains Echoed by Khaled Hosseini. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.